I need to mute. I want to. What?
Why don't you make your other office computer? Make your office computer
call. How do I make sure you have to like touch enough up?
everyone for coming. Good to see everybody. Mr. Shen, this is the first day of a two-day style of learning that and we have a tremendous host this morning. We have been here, he's coming all the way from England, and many of us are here shooting from him over Shabbos and before during the week, and it's a big close to have him here, really, Makazik and the Zoylam, giving us a little glimpse into a little real godless Baruch Hashem. Thanks, so thank you very much for coming. And tomorrow as well, we'll have another discussion here from Dov Khan from Lakewood, and to show him for everyone to come. Just before I introduce Rabbi Zimmerman and the topic, so I want to just once again thank our partners in this initiative. We've taken on an initiative to really bring speakers and really bring more awareness of halacha as it relates to business and Beis Din, etc. And we started a chabura, some rabbanim learning from mishpat and shiurim on these inyanim, and a lot of that, most of that, and we're partners in that with law firm of Sack, Khan and Braverman, and we thank them very much for their status in this, as well as their own personal interest in bringing awareness to the community and to their own lawyers as well. And it's a big Kiddush Hashem that we can partner together with them in this initiative. So the topic tomorrow is how that relates to our Kois and Beis Din. And it's a topic that really relates to everybody, even if in every way, in many, many ways. So with no further ado, we will hear from our Zerman Shlita.
Rishus, Rosh Yaqil, Sevre Yaqil, Kola Kodesh Azev, holy gathering congregation, North Miami Beach, spent here close to a week already, in the dedication for Torah and Tefillah. But above all, people get together on a Sunday, a legal holiday. There are probably other things to do in Southern Florida on this day and these days. And instead, they get together to learn Tesha Mishpah. Today's shiur will be on Dina de Malchus Dina. What we'll do is discuss what are the sources for Dina de Malchus Dina, what are the reasoning behind it, what are the applications of it, which applications are agreed upon by all, and which ones are a machlokes, and then give an example of a test case on the Din Torah of Dina de Malchus Dina. Anyone can feel free to ask any question they want, and I shall feel free to ignore the question and push it off till later, if it misdirects the chair. Dina de Malchus Dina, the law of the king, of the government, the land, is the law. This is found five places in Shas. The Durim of Zion of Tess. Mishnah says in the Dharam Daf of Zion, Noidrin the Mochsin, to make a nether to evade taxes. So the Gemara asks a question, why are you allowed to do so? But Omar Shmuel, Dina de Malchusa Dina, and therefore the government has a right to impose taxation. And the Gemara answers, it's talking either Mochus She'en or Mitzvah, taxation which is capricious and arbitrary, or someone doesn't have the authority to to give to them. So what we see from this Gemara, the premise of the Gemara is that a government has the power of taxation. Next Gemara, Bava Kamma da Kufi Gimel, is Gufa Amar Shmuel, Dina de Malkusa Dina. Amar Rabba Teta, the Kapli Dikli, the government knocks down trees, the Gashri Gishri, and they build bridges, Bavrina Nalaya, and we travel on those bridges. This is what we call the law of eminent domain. If the government has a right to appropriate land, they have to pay for it, to build public services and public works. Next Gemara, Baba Basra and Lundal, the higher number page. For Omar Shmuel, Dina de Malkusa, Dina, Umalka Omar, Loilikti Ara Elabigarta. The only way of pinion of land is with kesef. What we see is that the laws of land acquisition are also binding. Gemara Baba Basra Nun Hey Amit Aleph. Gemara says there's Kalusim Shmei Bishmol Dina De Malchus Adina Vari Susa De Parsoi Admen Shnin. If someone works the land for 40 years, it becomes his. This is what they call squatter's rights. Finally, Gittin, appeared on the days. Kalach Taras Ha'evim Barakos Akosha. And the Gemara says it sounds even like a shtar opinion. Why would it work on a shtar opinion? And the Gemara says because of Dina De Malchus Adina. Here again, we have laws of acquisition. So if we see from five different Gemaras, that there are four areas of civil law which are binding in Allah. That is the power of taxation, the law of eminent domain, methods of acquisition, and squatter's rights. The Gemara does not explain why is it that Dina De Malchus Adina. This is the Machlekes HaRishayim. The Ran says the reason why Dina De Malchus Adina is the Dafke Malchei Eved Kechaved, living in a non-Jewish land, Amar Dina De Malchus Adina, Mipnei Sha'aretz Shaloi, the land belongs to the king. I'll send you away. And therefore, Dina Malchus Adina is based on the ownership rights of the king. You're living in his land. You have to abide by his laws. The Rashbam in Baba Basra and the Dalit on the page, to the master of the Amar Shmuel, says, Kol Yisim Ranunis in Hagish HaMishpatei Lerachim, it's because when you live in a country, you willingly accepted all his laws. The Hilkat Din Gomer. We have here a Machlekes. Is it because the king, the government, owns the land? Or is it because the people living there chose willingly to accept this malchus? According to both these svaras, Dina Malchus Adina is a din deraisa. Both of these svaras are deraisa svaras. You live in someone else's land, you agree to it, or you have to agree to something that is a kingdom. As they state in some Sefer Deis and Shinra Dalit, Bar Avram, right at the beginning. And if you look in Beis Shmuel and Ebenezer, certain Kofes, Kofes Kedushins, Kofes Gimel, he says that if you acquire a ring with no other kinyan than Dina De Malchus Adina, and you marry someone with it, it's a Kedushin Deraisa. So we see the Chayra, that according to most opinions, Dina De Malchus Adina is a Din Deraisa. There is a Rabbeinu Yaina in Baba Basra who says that it's a Tekana De Rabbanon, but most opinions hold that it's a din deres. And therefore, now, that although the word is melech, it's nothing to do with them being a melech. Any governmental legal body that's in charge is dina de malchusah. So what we have here is as follows. We have a basis of five gemaras that civil law, which is made not of tiferet, is binding upon those who live in that country, and it's binding in Allah. But we have a machlokes why. Is it because the king owns the land? Or is it because you agreed to it? What's a nafka mina? One nafka mina is Eretz Yisrael. Is there a dina de malchusa dina in Eretz Yisrael? And this is regardless of who's running the government in Eretz Yisrael, no political statement.
Well, the government owns 90% of the land.
Okay. But, do they have that right? So the Ran says, he says, Abu Bamalchi Yisrael Lai, the Fisha, Eretz Yisrael, Kol Yisrael Shukumba. Live in America, you live in England, so someone owns the land and you're living there. Eretz Yisrael belongs to all of us. And therefore, they have no right to dictate laws to us. That is the Ran's ability. According to Rashbam, you're living in Eretz Yisrael, you agreed to abide by the local laws. But according to the Ran,
that. But the Ran, you might have Rashbam in case where I moved to a country that already exists. It's not that the bullshit is to over right now. Everybody is focused on the communist to go over.
No.
I'm moving to a place that already has this decided. So my wife said, I don't want to, I move here. That was my choice to move it.
Yeah, but the Iran doesn't hold with this far that I moved somewhere. I agreed to abide by the law. You have no basis to say.
You were born in the middle of my rush. You had no choice. It wasn't going to a place where you moved to a different country at different laws.
Who says that moving to a country means I accept the laws, except the Rashbam? And therefore, the Ran says that in Eretz Yisrael, there's no din of the Sabin. So we have a question. So let's say you live in Eretz Yisrael. What
right?
What obligates someone to keep traffic laws, safety laws in Eretz Yisrael? People say, I hope like the Ran. There's no din of the Sabin. As you've ever noted, so traffic laws aren't all that popular over there. But if no one says you're not obligated to do so, just don't keep them. But
we're taxed.
Taxes is different. So the Psalm Sefer addresses this question. And the Psalm Sefer says that there are certain areas of safety and security. Which, let's say there was no government, it would still be, it would be incumbent upon the Beis Din or Sanhedrin to create these laws. Now, in absence of the Sanhedrin, the government serves as shluchim of the Sanhedrin to make these laws. And therefore, the Tam Sefer says, even in absence of Dina de Malchusa Dina, the Gemara and Baba Basra of Dina de Malchusa Dina, these laws have to be adhered to because this is the Takonas B'nai Yair. The Machloikis, the Ran, and the Rashbam would be on the types of laws that Sanhedrin wouldn't have made. Do they have a right to make such? Now that you mentioned it, we'll go see what the Shulchan Aruch says. Now, how do we pass it in this month like this? Well, the truth is that there's a more fundamental difference between the Rambam and the Rambam. We give a look in the Ramah and Siman Shin Sama. The Ramah says, first day, Yesh Pemre, the Loi Amrina Dina de Malchusa Dina, Ella the Nissen Unixen de Tatuyan Bekarka. It's only on laws called that pertain to land. Kiyam Mela, the first day of the Ramah is that it only applies to the laws that about when this is the opinion of the Rosh and the Mordechai based on the Ramah. And if you know, at least four out of the five Gemaras are talking about land. The one in Gittin is not so clear, it's talking about land. And Mordechai says that Erechanan is also talking about laws of land acquisition. And as such, it only applies to laws that pertain to property. Then there happens another day, the Yesh Kohen, who swears that we are the holdover of the Mordechai city. Normally, when you lend money and you take collateral, you can't sell the collateral unless the loan became due. In civil law, you can sell a collateral that time after a year. It's up to a month. If we say, Dina de Malkus, Dina de Choldar, then you can sell a mashkin after a year, even though in halacha you have no right to. This is the Ramah. He is quoting the Mordechai B'Shem Tosfos and a Marik. And in fact, Ramban the Rashi for the Rambam Vas to say the same thing. So there's a very great machlekes. Is Dina the Malchus of Dina limited to halachas that pertain to karka, or no? All types of law. Now the question is, in the second opinion,
the Ran himself is talking about taxes, not about karka.
Who?
The Ran himself is talking about a budget. That's it. He's talking about property tax specifically.
Now, let's go in the second opinion. The Dina Malchus and Dina is more encompassing. Is it true about every civil law becomes binding? So the Ramban says that applies even to something she'ein bei hanah l'melech, even if it's something that doesn't have, the king has no interest in it, or the country has no interest, not in the public interest. Even the Malchus Adina is absolute. Rabbeinu Yehuda disagrees. Rabbeinu Yehuda says that a davar she'ein Yisrael l'chaveiro, a dispute or a transaction between two Jews, like Ichmus Leila Malchus and Oysum Kidvar Anter. I don't care if Jews want to follow Jewish law amongst themselves. Now, the question is, how do we pass them this one? We have one sheet of Iran, which limits either Malchus and Dina the Karka and Choslaris. We have another sheet of the Rashbam. You live in a country, you accept the laws, and it's broadly based across the board. So the Ramah brings down two days, Yesh Oimrim V'Yesh Chalkim, and then the Ramah adds three words, V'chein Hu Hadikra. Past is like the second day. You see in Derek Moshe, he says that Dina Malchus Adina encompasses all types of civil laws. However,
no difference to the people.
Seemingly, even if it makes no difference to the however, if you look in Shin Samach Tes Yud Aleph at the end, it talks about in Halacha when a woman dies, a married woman dies, her husband inherits her. What happens in the country where the civil law is that her father inherits her? The law that the lack of his emission Dina de Malchusa Dina. The loy aminan Dina de Malchusa ella bedaber sheyesh by hanna alva melech. Only one of the king benefits. Oyeshu letakonas b'nei medina. It's something which benefits a public benefit. It doesn't mean that Jewish people should conduct themselves according to civil law and not Jewish law. Because otherwise, you've just closed the Tesh Mishnah. Just see what learned Florida state law. So the Rama says, although he paskins in Shin Samach Tes, like the second opinion that it applies much more broadly than the Ran would say. However, in Yud Aleph, he limits it to things that the king has a benefit or things that are public interest, not to all laws. So we've defined the Ramah's opinion. Now, one more opinion is that of the Shach. There is a Shach in the Yoredeya. Simon Kuf Samach talks about, as we all know, there's an issue of rivets. You borrow $100, you can only pay back $100. You borrow a coin, you give back the same coin. There are more at the end of Kuf Samach A, he talks about what happens if the government changed the currency, changed the weights of the currency. The currency used to have some value. And had an intrinsic value, it was silver. And they made the dollar coins, I should say, bigger. And therefore, when you're paying back, more. And they made a rule, if you borrow a silver dollar, you gotta give back a new silver dollar, even though the new silver dollar is worth more. So the Ramah says, the end of Kuf Samach.
No rivers in that?
That's what he's talking about. So for sure. Which is really a chayshe mishpah thing that you machuy pay back, and then the Ramah says there is even no rivets. I don't know why is it not rivets, but they say it.
Is that the Rabbanan? Is that Iker or the Rabbanan? Because that's only Nisra the Rabbanan, because Pasra Mikara. So it's only Nisra Rabbanan. So Dina Machus is.
That's a possibility. The other possibility in Rivas is that I'm not paying back because I borrowed. I'm paying back because the law tells me I have to do it. And that's not Rivas. Rivas is only when the loan obligates me to pay back. Now, the Shach on this Ramah says, what's that? That I have to pay back in higher coins. What does this have to do with the another side? Shach has two explanations. One, because we pass them like the second day in the Ramah, the Dina de Malchus of Dina encompasses everything, not just land transactions. And he says a second shot. It could be that it's really all like the first day. But issues of currency. This is a sheet of a Ramban that defining what is currency, what is legal tender, and hence what are the obligations in currency, is the very essence of being a king. What is a king? That he can mint coins. That's what the United States government would be if they couldn't print tremendous amount of dollars, and you had to pay a $39 trillion debt. Imagine what it would look like. So that is what a malchus is. And the Melo, the Shach says, even if we pass like the first day, when it comes to currency, you have to know.
Don't cut it off after the first day. The second day,
that's for sure.
The malchus.
Both sheets.
Yeah, both sheets.
Yeah, it could be that. Now, there's another chapter. Simon Ayin Gimel talks about what happens when a loan is due to sell off the collateral. In Halakha, how long do you have to sell off the collateral? 30 days. Mangvia is Lamangvia. What happens if in civil law you have to wait a year for the sell off collateral? The Ramah in Ayin Gimel, I think it's easy to tell it, says, are you going to have to wait a year? You need a malchus of you. Comes along the shop, And the Shach says, no. One, Dina de Malchus Dina is only the Dovah Sheyesh Bayan Ma'avanach. It's the king's business when I sell off the collateral, it's only not paying a loan. Number two, the Loy Amrin on Dina de Malchus Dina, Hechid de Neged Chukei Atera. We don't say Dina Malchus Dina when it's a direct conflict with Halacha, with Chayshu Mishpat. And in Chayshu Mishpat, Zman Gviya is Chayshu Yayin. And therefore, we do not say Dina de Malchus Dina. So this is Machlokes Rambam and Shach. Would you say Dina de Malchus Dina across the board, with the exceptions of what's mentioned in the Sefer, or no? It's far more narrower, and it doesn't work when it's negative. Now, the Shach himself says, this is a very long Shach, that although Bina the Malchus of Bina is not binding whenever it's against Jewish law, but nevertheless, there are many times that the Dina de Malchusa creates the Minhag HaMedina. In other words, when you have a transaction, there are many things which are not spelled out. What are the terms of the transaction? And the Mishnah says, Wilkins times, HaKoyl K'minhag HaMedina. It's not spelled out. The Malchus's understanding is like the Minhag HaMedina. Although Dina the Malchusa Dina as a halachic principle might not be entirely binding, but there are many, many times that the civil law will define the stam das of the people engaged in this transaction, and hence it will be the Minhag HaMedina. And therefore, although the Shach limits the authority of Dina de Malchus Dina as a binding halachic principle, he nevertheless agrees that it will be used quite regularly in commerce, because that was the implicit understanding of the people engaged in this commerce. I'll give you some examples. You lend money to a corporation. A corporation has limited liability. Limited liability, you can only pay back from corporate funds. There's no personal liability. Now, this could be a corporation which has only one shareholder and one director and one beneficiary, you. And nevertheless, in civil law, if you lend money to a corporation, there isn't any responsibility on the owner, who's the director, who's the beneficiary, to pay it back. Because in civil law, a corporation is a separate entity. It might be owned by the person, but it's a separate entity, and that entity only has to pay from its assets. So now, let's go on a lot. Lend money to a corporation. Like I say, it's owned by a Jew, sole owner, and the corporation doesn't have money. I tell the person, pay me back, you owe me money. I lent you money. I know you put it in your corporation. So you would have a shaila in halacha. First of all, is there such a thing as a corporation in Jewish law? Does such a thing exist? Most opinions say not. The Ragachav, Chalkis Yaakov, say maybe yes, but Pashtus, there's no such entity as a corporation, at least a simple limited liability corporation in Jewish law. There still is a possibility in halacha that every loan of a corporation is an achleifik in the furish, where I say, like the halachah Quran elements. But putting aside these questions, the reality is that everyone knows when you lend money to a corporation what you are doing. And the law is that a corporation does not have personal liability. So therefore, regardless of what we postulate the Ramah or you postulate the Shach, you will not be able to collect from anything other than the corporation's assets. Because the Shach would be must tell you, even if there is no Dina de Malchus Sedina, but it became the Minhag HaMedina. And therefore, you don't have to pay back.
you say the same idea, somebody walks into a store, slips on a crate, they have a lawsuit against this Jewish store because that's the minute that we know that people sue for these type of damages and walk in with millions of dollars, or would deal with the old Mishnah?
That was one of the questions that I deserve the right not to answer. Not because I'm afraid of answering it, but because it was too far off the topic we were holding at the moment. But like I said, you can ask whatever you want. Next is bankruptcy. In Jewish law, there's nothing to do. You can't declare bankruptcy and not pay back. And in civil law, it used to be like that also. There used to be something called debtor's prison. But if you didn't pay back, they put you in prison. Then the world became more progressive and they created bankruptcy laws. Bankruptcy laws waive debts. Our bankrupt, now in halacha, it doesn't exist, this concept of bankruptcy. Can one apply bankruptcy laws in halacha? In Tzuka Tshuvas Igus Moshe, Peshe Mishpa Pelek Bey Simon Samachbeis, he says, yes, you lend someone money, you know that there is this possibility of a person declaring bankruptcy, and that was the implicit agreement. This is the Pesach of Igus Moshe. Igus Moshe is very broad because he even applies it to personal loans amongst people. And he says, since there is such a thing called personal bankruptcy, and even if the loan was for personal use, Igus Moshe finds himself out that bankruptcy waives all debts. You're a moral obligation. There are other opinions who limit, they agree this concept that bankruptcy laws are effective in our offer, but they limit it to more of a commercial circumstance where the person understood that when you engage in a commercial transaction, there is this possibility of someone declaring bankruptcy as opposed to a personal loan. However, like I say, that's a machlokes. And furthermore, the difference might be cultural. It really depends within the stam das of the two people dealing with each other, what were they thinking? Next, severance pay. Fire someone. Civil law is rules of severance pay. In the Torah, there's only one place it says severance pay. Tanit tanit lo. Tanit tanit lo. But if you look in the Sefer HaChinuch, it says that although the halacha is only on an evet ivri, but it would be appropriate to give hanukkah to any worker, at least the worker that you benefit from. That's advice. It's not halacha. In civil law, you have severance pay. What binds me to the seventh pay? I'm a Jewish person and I hired a Jewish person to work. In halacha, it doesn't exist. If I can fire the person, I don't own anything anymore. And the answer is because if you hired a person in a country where there is laws of seventh pay, so you undertook without saying anything that you undertook to pay seventh pay. And this is true about all employment law, such as minimum wage, dismissal guidelines. None of these things exist in Deutsche Mishpat. In Deutsche Mishpat, you have a contract, you can never fire someone. And if you don't have a contract, you can fire someone tomorrow. But in civil law, certainly in various countries, in England, are very, very, you know, once you get a job, it's very hard to dismiss someone. Unless there are grounds of dismissal. And there are many, many laws governing the interaction between the employer and employee. And like I say, none of them exists in halacha. According to the Ramah, you're bound to it because of dinu machasadina. According to the Shach, the reason you're bound to it because that is the self-understood understanding of every transaction. One final thing is forfeiting a deposit. You buy a house. See a house you like, booming market here in Southern Florida. And you put down the deposit of 10%. Say, I'm going to come up with the other 90% in 3 months. You're truly planning to do so. Your judgment is that you will do so. And then something happens and you can't come up with the money. You want to know something in pure Cheshen Mishpah, not clear at all whether the seller can keep the deposit, because this is what we call a smach de leikanya, like a bet. The person putting down the 10% only put down the 10% because he truly believed that he was going to pay the other 90%.
Even if it's a signed contract and still being a smach, the guy signed that I keep the 10%.
So you have to learn Siman Reish Zayin. Every asmachta, remember, if there is no contract, you don't need a smachta like Kanya. If there's no kinyan, you don't need a smachta like Kanya. I can just say I didn't make a kinyan. Something. Every smachta like Kanya is overriding a kinyan. Now the question is, which kinyan does it override? So that can have to learn some in there. Zion, like this machaber or more, which kinyan it overrides. But you do have to know that smachta like Kanya overrides a kinyan. Otherwise, I don't need a smachta.
Within the deposit, to buy it. Now, market went down, and now I'm being paid for that for an option.
In the
price.
And in the Cheshen Mishpah, there's no such thing as buying an option. That doesn't exist. You can buy an object, you can't buy an option. That would be a Kenyan Baraba'omer in the Cheshen Mishpah, a Kenyan ethics. So you should know the Cheshen Mishpah, it doesn't exist. Nevertheless, never seen a seller give back a deposit, or rarely, and nor can a buyer demand it. Because this is a true in some sefer, that everyone knows that the minhag medina is that you lose your deposit. And since the minhag medina is that you lose your deposit, you're going to lose your deposit. And true vishash of Moshe from the Yitzchak Moshe, he says, even if it's not the minhag medina, but if it happens to be dina de malchusa, even according to the shach, that you don't follow dina malchusa, but you should know this, you don't have a smach like. So what we've done so far is as follows. We've said, where are the sources of Dina Matasa? We then went to the reasonings behind Dina Matasa. We went to the differences between the reasonings. Left it with the Machlekes, Ramah, and Shach of how broadly you apply it. Nevertheless, we explained that even according to the Shach, where Dina Matasa doesn't necessarily bind you, but it will create the Minhag HaMedina, which will then the implicit understanding of the agreement. Now, let's go to cases where you'll have a machlekes Ramban. Seemingly, there will be two areas where you'll have a machlekes Ramban. One is the Shach, Minhag HaMedina, is defining an agreement between two people. What happens if it's not an agreement between people? It are civil laws that are binding on an individual, but do not explain, interpret a transaction. For example, a civil law about competition. Who can and cannot compete? There are a lot of professions about competition. But putting aside those laws, what happens in civil law? It says if so-and-so has a store, you can't open a store within a mile radius. It's not an agreement between people at all. So you cannot apply the Shach to it. Hashavas Haveda, the laws in Cheshen Mishpah, the laws of Hashavas Haveda, there might be civil laws of Hashavas Haveda. There, it's not defining a contract or an agreement between parties. That's where you'll have a filling between the Ramah and the Shach. Another area is the Shach says the Dina de Malchusa defines the implicit terms of agreement. What happens if the law was created after the agreement? Just to give an example, and then we'll go to a real life example. He said, the Igus Meister says that bankruptcy laws are binding in Allah. Now, why are they binding? Because when you lend money to people, you understand there's a possibility of going bankrupt. Now, what would be if you lent money to someone before bankruptcy laws were created, and it was considered a crime not to pay a debt. And then 10 years later, bankruptcy laws are created and the person declares bankruptcy. Would that waive the debt to Malacha? That's where you have a machlekes from Ramosha. The Ramo would say yes, now that this became the law of the land. So then I can, the borrower can exercise his rights under this law and it's binding upon the lender. The shop would say no. This is the law of the land. Binds me is because that was the interpretation, the unwritten interpretation of the agreement. But when the agreement took place before the law existed, it would not pertain. And now I would like to give you a test case.
Why can't it be at the time in the agreement was understanding that if the laws change, it also
it might be so, it might not be so. It might be things that no one ever thought of. I want to give you a test case on it. This test came to our best before I joined it, but I did read it and sign off on it. To understand the property market in England, real estate market, there's something called a freeholder. A freeholder owns the land and technically owns the building. In Halacha, we call this a kinyan haguf. Then he sells, which is really a rent, a lease, the rights of usage of this building to a leaseholder. The leaseholder is generally a lease for 99 years. So technically, the leaseholder has the rights of usage for 99 years. After 99 years, it reverts to the freeholder. 99 years is a long time.
Yeah.
Now, during the 99 years, the leaseholder can sublet it or can lease it to another person. And that person takes over the remainder of time left in the lease. But ultimately, the lease can't exceed 99 years. So, the story is as follows. A freeholder made a lease in 1971 on a large property for 99 years, which will expire in 2070. Now, in the year 2004, when there were 66 years left on the lease, a Jew purchased the lease. The freeholder was always a Jewish person, and the leaseholder was a non-Jew, and a Jew bought it in 2004. At this point, in 2004, you have both the freeholder and the leaseholder being Jewish people, both very firm people, very prominent businessmen in England. In 1993, which is 22 years after the lease was instituted, the parliament passed the law that any leaseholder can extend the lease unilaterally for another 90 years. So the lease turned from a 99-year lease to a 99-year lease. And this is unilaterally without the acceptance and the acquiescence of the freeholder.
It had to be a labor bill.
Probably.
There's
no payment. It has to be. Now, so this from the who rented it, leased it in 2004 with 66 years left on the lease, decided somewhere along the way he's going to exercise his right to extend it by another 90 years. And all of a sudden he has a 156 year lease. He didn't do it in 2004, he did it much later, but comes along the freeholder and says, listen, we're both beaten, and you took over this lease from a lease that was instituted in 1971. In 1971, there were no laws of extension of leases. Conservative government at that time. And therefore, Alpi Tyra, we have absolutely no right to extend this lease. We're both from the Eden.
Why are we doing this? It's not relevant for another 60 years.
I don't know if it needs an answer. One's a cash up on my side. This is what happened. Number two, the length of the lease affects your value. If he wants to sell the lease now, if he has 90 extra years, it's worth more. Number three, Pachari wanted this person to judge it. That's the best. So that is, to begin, so it came to a din Torah. Freeholder says, Al-Buteri, you have no right to extend the lease. You cannot claim that this was the implicit understanding of the original lease, because the law doesn't exist. No one even conceived that you can go extend the lease unilaterally. But it's uprooting the very definition of what a lease is. The leaseholder says, I don't know what you want. The law is I can extend it, and I'm going to extend it.
But what's the violation? Because the freeholder didn't want it.
Freeholder did not want it. He wants it back.
Much like this remote shop.
So at the simplest, boiled down to the simplest level, this is a machlokes rabah and shach. The Ramah would say, yes, very good, you didn't agree to it. But din machlokes din. The shach would say, there's no din of the machlokes din when it's clearly against Oshim Mishpat, and this wasn't the implicit agreement.
Even though
it's really
not so it's kosher.
Very rarely do you have a din Torah which is so clearly focused, seemingly so clearly focused. It's like the Raman Shach come to a bed, or many times the halachas are unclear. You should know most din Torah is just an aside. Most things that we do are not like you imagine that there's one pathological liar, a gunman, who's trying to steal money from someone else. Most things there are people that enter a transaction in very good faith, but they have different perspectives. And because they have different perspectives, they view the transaction differently. And this difference of perspective goes on for years. So one day, this difference of perspective creates a machlokes, and then they explode, and then they start screaming, gun and but you should know that it's not so. They push it. People, even sometimes you have a person, they thought they were partners, but really one's an owner, and one's an employee. That's the most finitura that we sit on. It's not evil people, venial people, engaged in such things. And the reason why this happens is because people very rarely think through everything before they do something. And they don't write out all the terms and conditions, nor do they sometimes write out the objectives of it. You should know a business needs a mission statement. I was doing it imperiously. Two partners, both wonderful people, they were so close to each other, they used to make shovel up for each other. And now they're in a bitter fight. And I can think that's screaming and cursing each other about it. They were in partnership for 8 years. And about the usage of the funds or the proceeds of this business. And I'm a dime. And you know, a dime is supposed to remain passive. And just hear the arguments, never say any opinions, and we'll come back to you. And just passing at that. I'm sitting with two professionals, they on each side. But in an earlier Gilgal, I was a rabbi for over 25 years. And this rabbi has opinions. And sometimes the rabbi just pops out of the dime and just says his opinion. So I said, you know something, I would like to stop the din Torah. The rabbi and me would like to make a statement here. It's not binding on anyone. It's just advice. But in the olden days, I would give advice. Now I stop giving advice to people. But I just can't control myself. I said, let me explain to you something what's going on over here. You're an older person who bought this business for capital appreciation to leave an estate. You're a younger person with a big family who bought this business for income. Because you have two different objectives, you also have two different perspectives of what's the best interest of the business. That's why you're fighting. not because you're a Gandhav and you're a Shaktiv, because simply you're two different dimensions. And the truth is, I said that the fact that it lasted 8 years is this should have exploded on the first, at the first moment. It's only because they're such good people, it's of such fine character, that is why the partnership lasted 8 years. Now that we have established that, we should know you're not a Shaktin, you're just two Shutrim of different perspectives based on different objectives. Now let's, without any acrimony, let's break up this partnership, because this will never work. And then I take a deep breath and said, I'm no longer a Rav back to dying again. Let's continue. We're totally changing in different directions. You do have to know that most things are because you don't write things out clearly. You should know to enter a partnership. Best advice I can give you, write already how you're going to break up the partnership before. So if you take a job or hire someone, write out already what's going to, with a golden handshake. Because at this time, everyone has goodwill. Later, they don't have such people. And above all, if I can give one more piece of advice, and the Rav is popping out again, is do me a favor, write a letter. The worst battles you see are family battles. The worst fights in the world are when you see people that are, that brothers, sisters, just battling each other over money. And again, money is, money, I can't say it's a cause of not like this, but it's certainly tempting to fight about money. So, and many times not simply because the parents did not write a will saying clearly what they want happening with the money and making sure that this will is valid in halacha also. Just writing a civil will and then someone's going to challenge it that it's not good in halacha, and then it's going to be telling my faith is Igris Moshe and the Teshuv Eved said that a civil will is valid, and these people say it's not valid, this is not a good basis, and therefore. Again, this is just a unpaid commercial that people should make things clear. Now,
what was the end of the school of soccer?
Oh, yeah, I'll get to it. So I'll tell you the fact of the best. Step number one is in the Machlokes Ramon Shabbos. Here's simple halacha. The Ramon says, and it applies to everything. After World War One, the world was turned upside down. The government in various countries invalidated all leases. People were moved all over, and the government felt in various countries, in India, other places, that leases should be invalidated, everything should start anew. This triggered a massive tempera. This is the Jews, and the fire that was also not like for Mark and Shah. And this Shaila came to Ramea Arik.
That wasn't considered with the Kakonas of Medina?
It wasn't.
Even the Shaila.
Maybe. We'll see. So this Dintara came to the Imre Yosha. Imre Yosha was Ramea Arik, one of the great Gaon of Galicia. He lived in Vienna during the Two World Wars. And he wrote Truvis Imre Yosha. And on this Dintara, Imre Yosha said as follows. It says, most opinions follow the Ramon. Called Tumim Erech Shai, based on Brian, some Sefer, talks about competition, which is another document of the Bar and Shah, and later the Day of Meshara. And he says that we follow the Ramah. So step number one is, that's my dream. The immediation went further and said that could be in this particular case, the post World War I case, the Shah could be made with the Ramah. And he gives three reasons. One, so tell you some of you. Could the Shachas tell somebody when there's a tell you some of you? Number two, it's an issue of karka. And by karka, the first day in the Ramah says that by karka, it's absolutely near the Maltasavina. And maybe the Shachas made it to the first day of the Ramah. Maybe it's only arguing on the second day of the Ramah. And she says these two reasons. These two reasons apply in this case also. One, if you read the statute, but read the arguments in Parliament about this extension law in 1993, it's clear they were intending it to play the Samadina. They were saying people used, 99 years used to be a few lifetimes when this law was instituted.
Yeah.
And then people, Baruch Hashem, live longer today. So people live longer. 99 years is not all that long anymore. And therefore, they were extending it to Toyva Samadina. Number two, in England, if you read the Property Act of 1925, it says, and I quote, the Crown is the absolute owner of the land in England and Wales. All others are estate holders. So you have to know that in England, it's not because the land belongs to the king. That's what it says. Even though the king is a constitutional monarchy and not an absolute monarchy, but the parliament itself said that everything belongs to him. So Mela, here you could say that the Shah would agree to the Ramah. In the first, interim discussion, Bezin brought out that you should know the Ramah holds like this. Right? She does not like the Ramah. It's possible the Shah would agree over here. And in Imre Yesher, he passed them back. So the freeholders came back and said, listen, the Ramah says it, that's the Ramah. Fact. Rav opinions are like the Ramah, we're not going to argue that. This, Imre Yesher says that the Shah would. That would agree. That's speculative.
Very
possible that the Shah would not agree. Furthermore, on that very Dimtera in World War I, there was a different tshuva. The tshuva is Haratzelus Hasharon, I think it's called, who decried the psak of the Emiyasha, and he said he was influenced by socialism and communism. And therefore, we say Kimli like the Shach, as explained by the Chavetz Chaim. Now we know in Allah, in Machlekes of the Hashem Mishpat, the Muchsik can say Kimli. Person could say, even though majority of opinions are not like that, and in all other bodies of Allah follow majority opinion, as found in the Mishpat, but when it comes to financial matters, the Muchsik. And the Muxi could say Kindle. Now in Karka, there isn't any Muxi. There's only a Marikama. Karka Cheskis Balabadis. And the Mela, it's a Marikama. So the Tayan, on behalf of the freeholders, freeholders are sharp people, and then the sharp Tayan, said, listen, very nice Roshi to Salah Grimar. Very nice to Imbrigation. Said that the Shach would be made there. But the Chavetzel Sashoran says that the Shach would not be made over there. And the Shach, in the Shach itself, you don't see the Chiddush of the Meyesha. The tremendous God. But he's a God, so he wrote a nice shtickle with lots of Sattas with me. And we are the Marikama and Kimli, like the Chavetzel Sashoran Shach in the Shach.
He's
the Marakama.
Right.
He's the first.
So we answer back as follows. Three answers. Number one, the Imre Yesha himself says that although in Karaka there's no Moksik, and therefore the Marakama wins the dispute. But there's an exception to the rule. When a karka is rented out and there's a maska in the seicher, and the seicher is used living in it at the moment, he says that the seicher has been of a moksik, even though normally there's no moksik on karka. Not sure whether he means it is a moksik or it has the same din as a moksik. And therefore, if we're going to say that the seicher is a moksik, the leaseholder is a moksik, then it's case over it because rav shittas are going like the leaseholder. That's number one. Number two, this is
a biker.
first.
What?
See, Moksik for even the extension time, there's only Moksik copies.
At this moment, they're arguing right now. Number two, this is a source someone mentioned, but it's amplified. When you make an agreement for 99 years, remember 99 years is a long time, and it used to be even a longer time. I remember when I grew up in Shul in Davin, there was one man who became 80. I remember as a child, like we were all whispering behind his back, he's 80. Today, wow. Baruch Hashem, it's commonplace.
Yeah.
People are very young. The average person today lives to be 80. And you minus all the people who drive motorcycles and take drugs and whatever.
Yeah.
And a regular healthy person is going to live quite a long amount of time. Very interesting statistic. Because people die, they have a disease. What would be if they wouldn't never get a disease? How long would they live? In other words, the cells in your body can only last so long. How long would the cells in your body last? I saw a study from the University of Paris that they studied that cells would disintegrate on their own after 120 years.
Which is its own.
That's bad. But when we say Amir Esther, it's not a misunderstanding of the causal factors. It's giving someone a bracha that you shouldn't be, you should always be yourself. Anyway, 99 years is a long time. Everyone understands when they enter a 99-year transaction that a lot of things are going to change in these 99 years. And it could be the self-understanding that things that will change afterwards are also implicit agreement of this lease, even though, like I say, it wasn't the Minig HaMedina at that time, but everyone understands in 99 years, Minig HaMedina change, and it's self-understood that this will change, and this was also incorporated in the agreement. It is speculative, but it makes sense. The final thing is that the freeholder was not an individual. Were individuals, but they held it in a corporation. That holds the charter of that corporation. And the charter of that corporation, it says that this corporation is obligated to act according to all the laws of England and Wales. And therefore, although maybe he was a yachid, the Kimley might have had something. But since it's a corporation, the corporation bound themselves, and it was the corporation that signed the lease with the leaseholder, and they bound themselves to the laws. They bind themselves to future laws also. And therefore,
the members of the corporation can't change the charter. They could change it. At least the charter.
But they did. Charter. They didn't. When
right now, today.
I don't think you can change it on the lease you already gave.
It's too late.
And furthermore, it might be a very, very standard thing that a charter of a
body. Why did you pass it that way the first second? What do you mean all this lumbus for?
the freeholder is mighty, and he's going to
we wanted again. Do it first in Chayshu Mishpat. And again, this also. So anyway, and therefore we awarded it to the leaseholder that the extension is valid. Of course, is there precedent in Jewish law? No, there isn't. Unlike in civil law, where there might be precedent, although the recent Dobbs ruling overruling the Roe versus Wade tells you it's not all that bounding in civil law either. But the reality is, when there has been a landmark in Torah, it creates waves, and I don't know if anyone has challenged this.
They're all accepted.
Yeah, they're all very, very, very eloquent people, and whatever it said, they're going to accept.
They might assume that conservative governments can change it back.
Benefits are benefits. Anyway, to summarize what we said, said there are five Gemaras that talk about Dina the Machlokes. Said over a Machlokes Ram and Rashbam, what is the reasoning behind Dina the Machlokes? Said over a Machlokes two days in the Ma, the extent of Dina the Machlokes. We then said over a Machlokes of the Ma and Shach, how we ask him in Dina the Machlokes. We then defined how. Even according to the Shach, where Dina the Machlokes is more limited, we nevertheless define how it nevertheless has an application as Minhaga Medina. And then we use one test case where the majority of the facts lined up in the favor of the opinion of the Ramah. Yeratzin, we shouldn't have any disputes.
Can you address taxation in Israel? You're from Ningra.
Rose and Rumble from the back.
In the back. Tries to mediate. Any information the mediator gets, he cannot share with other people on the arbitration. That doesn't work, you go to arbitration. So at times in the middle of the entire, I said, I'll go back to the mediator. You're wasting my time. There's nothing to arbitrate over here. You think you're right. You think you're right. You're both right. There's no dispute here. And you just need someone to help you just right now. The case with another leaseholder and a freeholder, I said, you're both 100% right. That's what you have to do. What are you wasting people's time? Remember, we get paid salaries. We don't get paid.